want to do this. That was so awesome.
Welcome to another episode of Chewing the Fat. I am your host, Big Rob. Welcome to season four, the first episode of season four. Thank you so much for the folks who have stuck with me through three other seasons. I hope you're enjoying these stories and maybe you're finding some commonality with folks to know that we are not alone in this world. I am so happy to have in studio with me today an old friend from radio who's back in radio again. Please welcome Chris Fisher.
Thank you.
Chris, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm okay, but you didn't tell me I was the first episode of the season. That's a pressure.
No. I thought you would have said no if I told you.
No, I would never say no. Actually, truth be told, I've been waiting for the call to be on your podcast.
Oh, I appreciate that, so, man.
So thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. We've probably known each other for well over 20 years, if not longer, even though we've never actually worked together, I don't think. We may have worked for a small time together at 96.
I think it was a hot second back in Cumulus days.
Yeah.
Because I started there in 98, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. I think I started 99-ish.
Okay. Yeah. And then I left in 99. I left in... Oh boy, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Late summer 99. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a fun story.
We can get into that here shortly. But, that, you know, that's one of those things with, especially radio folk that are like not the salespeople or not the management people. I mean, we're all doing the same job. We all understand the pressures and the crap that we all have to go through. So it's a big, like, brotherhood, sisterhood of just people.
I know what you're going through. It's a support group.
It is. That's what it is.
Radio People Anonymous. Although we're radio people, so we don't want to be anonymous. So
we don't make
everybody to know.
That's right. Radio People Public.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Chris, are you from the Augusta area?
Born and raised.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Really?
Born in South. Well, I wasn't born in South Augusta. I was born at... Back in the day.
At the corner of like Peach Orchard and Windsor Springs.
That's it, right there on the corner. Back then it was Hardee's. No. Born in St. Joseph Hospital.
Yeah.
Which is now, I think, one of the Piedmonts.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, then raised in South Augusta.
Okay.
You know, graduated from Butler High School, nice. 1995. Yay. I don't know.
That was Bulldogs, right?
Bulldogs, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And that was it. You know, well, that wasn't it, but I went to college for a couple of years after that before taking the dive into radio.
Yeah. Did you go to like Augusta College or did you venture out of Augusta?
Then it was Augusta State University.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That was the name that I
at
went
that,
to.
During that, yes. That's the one you wanted on the diploma at that time.
Yeah.
As opposed to Regents or GRU or anything else that was long
ago. It was Augusta State University, but we still had the asbestos buildings. So there's that. Yeah.
Here's a degree and a side of cancer.
Yes.
Enjoy. Did you always have like a desire to get into radio? I know you said, you know, after college you got into radio, but like, was there always like something, were you a performer? Did you play an instrument? Did you sing? Were you the class clown?
Yes to almost all of that.
Okay.
I didn't sing. Mm-hmm. Always wanted to, but I'm not a big singer, I don't think. Mm-hmm. But, early in high school, I thought I wanted to be like an actor.
Okay.
And I guess I still do, but like I did drama in high school and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. I did a little bit of theater outside of school, but it just, my self-confidence, I guess, wouldn't let me go, you know what? I could probably be good.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really pursue it as much as I would have probably have liked.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you look back on we had these cheesy little senior books that you write in all the things you want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you look in my senior book, it says, I want to be a radio DJ. So yeah, there was the desire even back then.
That's awesome. Where did you, I mean, you're from, born and raised here listening. to radio here? Did you have any like inspiration from the stations here? Were you a WBBQ guy back when it was, you know, top 40 and you had like, I guess right, you had Mark Summers was the morning show guy at that time.
Mark Summers, grew up listening to, you know, Dickie Shannon and Harley Drew and everything, all the old Augusta radio names. And, I just remember BBQ growing up was like, anytime anything fun was going on in town, WBBQ was there.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I try to program HD98.3 because, you know, to me, it was just a feeling of excitement. If I saw that van, I knew something fun was going on.
Yeah.
And I want people to feel the same thing with my radio station. But the actual thing that got me really hooked was, and I heard this when I listened to the Jenny Bender episode, and we've actually talked about this. The dude that she had worked with down in Brunswick, who did mornings here on 96, it was RXR back then.
Joe Mama.
Joe Mama.
Yeah.
And I used to listen to him in the mornings. And I had this weird calendar in my room as, I don't know, I was probably a freshman in high school. I don't know how old I was. Mm-hmm. But it had these weird holidays. And one of them was Tricky Handshake Day. And for whatever reason, I had to call the radio station and go, hey, it's Tricky Handshake Day. And you and I know how radio works.
Yeah.
Like, getting on the air as a caller is difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
And for whatever reason, I don't know why. I don't know if the guy was expecting a call or whatever, but Joe Mama's partner, I don't even know who it was, answered the call on the air. And Joe was like, what is this? Why is it so important to answer this? Well, who is this? And it was me. And I was like, I just wanted to call and tell y'all it's Tricky Handshake Day. And this is right after Pee Wee Herman got in trouble.
Oh, no.
And Joe said, well, that's how Pee Wee Herman got in trouble. Silence. I froze. I was like, and then he fired up a song, Running on Empty. And he said, this is for the young man on the phone and blah, 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 and went into his thing. And I'm like, I want to do this. That was so awesome. So that was my big moment of going, this is what I want to do with my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jenny told Joe that, and he got a real kick out of it. And we kind of connected a little bit on social media, and I don't know, it was a cool little moment to go, thank you for that, you know?
Yeah. That is so, you know, and I think a lot of us that obviously we got into radio, I don't think anybody got into radio without having listened to or had some sort of experience like that. I mean, something where you're like, you know what, this seems like this could be a cool thing, or I have this, you know, I'm an introvert on the outside, but there's an extrovert trying to get out.
Yeah.
And if you don't look at me, I can be that performer on the stage if you can't see me, you know?
Yeah. It's funny that you say that because, like, you know, we can do whatever we do on a mic. And I'm usually okay, like, in a big setting. Like, if I'm on a stage introducing a band and there's maybe 1,000 people or whatever, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But in a room of small people, I had to do a presentation for college. I think
they're called little people.
not like that.
You mean a few people.
A few people. Gotcha. A small amount of people.
Gotcha.
I had to do a presentation for them. I don't know. It may have been 30, 40 people.
Yeah.
And I was so nervous.
Yeah.
And so it's just weird how that translates. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Well, I've had that same experience. Like, you know, been on stage in front of 30,000 people, like introducing Rascal Flatts at a concert.
Yeah.
No problem at all.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put me in that room with like 7 people that I don't really know, even at a party, and it's like people are happy to be there, it's like I'm gonna hang out in the corner or find that one person that I know and just attach myself to them.
Don't leave me.
Do not leave me here. I don't know these people. Yeah. I think part of it also is like, when you have that personality, we all have these personas. We have these, you know, nom de plumes that we sometimes come up with, and we create, you know, I created Big Rob. That's who that is.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And you can kind of separate yourself from your on-air persona, from your personal person.
Right.
And people see you as that persona, and they're like, hey, you know, if you're a comedian, tell us a joke.
Yeah.
Say something funny.
Which is the worst thing to say to someone. But,
absolutely.
Know, sidebar, anyone, if you approach someone who is, you know, that's kind of their craft, comedy or be like, I've had somebody come up to me before, do something funny, be funny. And it's like, I don't know what I'm doing right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I can't. It's like, you know, or do your radio voice.
Yeah.
It's like, well, this is just my voice. I don't. What do you mean? Yeah. Go buy a car. What do you want me to tell you? It's like, you know.
Well, it's funny too. I get that a lot in just in my personal life because, you know, pop radio is a lot different. Pop radio, because most people say, well, you don't sound like you do on the radio. It's because I'm not excited about everything.
Yeah.
On pop radio, that's it. You got whatever Taylor Swift song's coming up. Hey, this is the best song ever. Listen to it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, right. I don't do that in my daily life. People would think I'm psycho.
I just made it. Yes.
I'm going to go to the bathroom right now. I'll see you in 8 minutes.
Right.
You know, or whatever. So, yeah, it's just a funny kind of, I don't know what you call it, difference there.
Yeah, yeah.
Difference in delivery.
Yeah, and like I said, it's switching on and being as part of your job to do that stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. A lot of it, I think a lot of us bring our old personality to it, or that hidden bit of the personality that we, you know, because you have that anonymity of the microphone and you're just being on the radio, you're in a room by yourself talking to yourself for 4 or 5 hours at a time.
Yeah.
That's really all it is.
Which is funny too, that brings up another thought of, you know, why I loved getting into radio was, do you remember, I'm sure you remember the movie American Graffiti.
Oh yeah.
So for people who don't know this movie, kind of the Cliff's Notes here, it's these high school kids graduated. They're about to go off to college and they're doing their separate stories and everything. But the one constant in the movie is the voice on the radio is Wolfman Jack. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he had a little cameo in the movie and you see that he's just there by himself. You know, the freezer's busted. He's eating popsicles. He's by himself, but he's also hanging out in everybody's car with them. And that fascinated me. So I just love the idea of like, you're here, but you're also everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And we get that when, you know, when listeners call in and you're so much a part of their life every day. They're, you know, if you're on in the morning show, you're part of their drive to work or you're part of their drive home or their, you know, their Friday nights or whatever it is. And they, you know, quote unquote, know you, whereas you have no idea who these people are. But also part of it is when you're out, when you do a remote or you're out at an appearance or something, you have to know them too. You have to be, you know, congenial to them and like, oh yeah, that's great. Oh, I'm so, thank you so much for listening. Yeah. You know, oh, that's great that you know,
I love
for the birth of your child.
Yeah.
Who knew, you know?
I love that stuff though, man. You know, going back to the voice thing, I've only been recognized for my voice one time, I think. And that was like, somebody at my bank who I'm, you know, kind of remain friends with, but like, I don't think I've ever been recognized for my voice. Mm-hmm. I've been recognized for my face for more for my Metro Spirit column than I have for radio, which was weird. 'Cause I only did that for like what, 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But your picture was there with it.
Yeah. I guess that did, still is a little tiny, little grainy black and white picture. Like how long did you look at this picture?
it's just fascinating. And, it's funny you're talking about American Graffiti. That was actually how I got my first paid radio gig. I interned at 96RXR back when it was in the Lamar building.
Oh, okay.
Back with Tony Powers and Anita Mann in the Morning Zoo. I would board op and I would cut promos and stuff with reel to reel and razors and tape and all that.
I came
in
on the tail end of that.
Yeah. It was just Dave Wren was the engineer there and built that studio out. It was crazy. I was still in high school, but I got a gig working at a station in Greenville paid because I did a Wolfman Jack impersonation on the air.
Really?
Yeah. The guy was out at some remote. He'd come down from Greenville because it was like, It's like not WLFJ, kind of like AFJ is here, the Christian station, but they have their home station is like his radio in Greenville.
Oh, so the same company.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So they just had like a repeater here or whatever.
Gotcha.
And they'd come down to some concert or whatever. And the guy that was the DJ that was there was like, and I did a like a Wolfman Jack. Like what he was like, and afterwards he was like, would you like to do a weekend shift? I was like, not like that. Because that
do I have to do this the entire time?
His voice the whole time. And he's like, no. So that was my first paid gig.
What? That's awesome.
Saturday mornings, go work 6 hours in Greenville. Barely made enough money to pay for the gas to get there and get back. But
well, that's how we do it. Exactly, that's how it works.
Yeah. You don't get into radio because you like money.
That was the first thing when I said I wanted to get in. I said, well, you're not going to get rich. Yeah. And they did not lie. Yeah. They should have said, you'll barely pay your bills. That would have been more accurate.
I hope you enjoy water and ramen. Yeah. Oh, that's so fun, man. That is great. So you mentioned you're back in radio now. You were out of it for a while. Yes. And you are at HD98.
HD98.3. I guess you could call it back home. Mm-hmm. You know, just I guess my history there is I started there in 2006 and they had just signed it on and they, you know, hired me to do afternoons and I was the assistant program director and I was there for 7 years. Mm-hmm. And then I left to do a morning show because that's what I always wanted to do. Yeah. Most radio people, you want to do a morning show. Right. And I always wanted to, and I wasn't going to get it here because we had the Kit Kratic show and they weren't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. So this position opened up in Florida. I actually had my old radio station, Jordan Zay, was down there doing mornings.
Okay.
And so I was like, yeah, I'll go down there. And they needed somebody. So went down there and it blew up in my face and it was just not a good situation. And came back. I was out for a year. Then I got hired as program director at HD98.3. Mm-hmm. Ran the station for a little over 3 years. Then they moved me to Vegas to run a couple of radio stations.
Oh, wow.
And that was a really cool experience. But, you know, got let go there, came back, and there was just nowhere for me here. Yeah. So for the next 5 years, I was just like, I'm just out. I guess I'm done. You know, had a 20-year run. It was fun. It was good.
Yeah.
But now time for the next adventure. Mm-hmm. So working for myself. And then all of a sudden this position opened up and I guess I'm back.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's, I mean, obviously you wouldn't have gone back if you didn't. I think we're all a little bit, there's always that bug for radio. I don't think you ever completely get over it.
No, not at all.
You know, and like I said, you're not doing it for the money. Yeah. You do it because you love it. And there's something about it that you love, whether it's being the entertainer or the people, or I mean, or just the love of music too. But before you came back, you started your own business. What were you, and you still have the business going on now.
Yeah, I do.
It's over. So what was that?
Well, I was actually, I had actually started it years ago as a supplement to my income for radio. Mm-hmm. And that's what radio people do. And I was DJing weddings a lot, you know, some parties and events and stuff like that. And it was really just a side hustle to make a little extra money. So when I came back from Vegas, I had nothing. I was like, well, I'll just go back to that because I have all the equipment and I have some connections and I could probably get back into it pretty easy.
Yeah.
And man, I just built and built and built. Those 5 years were very promising. Mm-hmm. So fast forward to this year, you know, and also I went through a divorce last year, so I didn't have my wife's income to kind of back me up. So it was just me with my kids and trying to make all those ends meet. So I was like, I'm going to pack in as much as I can work-wise.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. So this spring is like jam-packed. I am so busy. I'm like weddings every weekend. I got trivias during the week. I've got all kind of parties, renting out photo booths, just everything. And then all of a sudden, now you also have a 40-plus hour a week job.
Yeah.
So I'm very busy right now.
Yeah.
But the, you know, a caveat of getting the job is that, okay, now I don't have to push so hard for the extra events, for the weddings and things like that. So, and my son, he's got 2 years left in high school. My other two are already, you know, grown and doing their own thing. So I want to kind of make the most out of that time.
Absolutely.
So working every Saturday doesn't really,
you
know, isn't great for that. So this will give me a chance to take a few Saturdays off, spend it with my son and things like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Any favorite memories from any of your time in radio? Any, I mean, 'cause we have these weird opportunities, yeah. you know, to meet people that you just never know, that you would never think you would meet. And it's also one of those things is like, you know, don't meet your heroes because they're generally assholes or whatever.
Sure.
But I mean, do you have any like favorite memories from radio?
Man, there's so many.
Yeah.
A lot of great memories. I would be better to just list off that whatever pops into my head. And then I guess the first one would be attending a taping of the Jimmy Kimmel Show in Vegas. You know, he's from Vegas. Mm-hmm. So he did a show there at the Planet Hollywood for a little bit. And then the one I got to go see, he had the Killers come in, mm-hmm. who are also from Vegas. Mm. So they did their songs for the show. And then when they were done taping, they did like three or four more songs, just like a little impromptu concert because it's Vegas. And I was just like, this is a very Vegas moment. This is so cool. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool. I don't know why I'm on the spot with this. There's so many cool things, meeting a lot of cool people. I've never really met like an asshole or anything. Like, most people have been really cool. I've been very fortunate to not, meet that hero that
shatters your dreams.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Actually, this is a pretty cool story. Back when I was in Florida, the first time, my first full-time gig, I was doing nights in Panama City Beach, Florida. And Papa Roach came and did a concert at the club where we were doing the show from. Mm-hmm. And after, the club closed, I was done being on the air and I was just hanging out. I was tipsy. But I had this megaphone that I would just carry around and just mess with people with. So at the end of the night, I'm in the parking lot, just on the megaphone, talking shit to the people leaving the club and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the band comes out and Jacoby is like trashed. Mm-hmm. And he sees me on the megaphone. He's like, oh man, that's awesome. I want that. I'm like, dude, I just got this. And I'm like, not well off. Like this costs $100.
Right.
He whipped out 100 cash, gave it to me, and I sold it to Jacoby Shaddix from Papa Roach.
Oh, wow.
So fast forward however many years it was when they came here to Augusta, mm-hmm. He came into my studio at HD and did a little interview, and I reminded him of that story. I showed him, I got a picture of it, of the interaction or the transaction. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, I remember that. He's like, we used that in our show for, a few shows. I was like, that's the coolest thing ever. So then I got another picture with Jacoby after telling the story. It was just kind of a cool full circle moment with that. So that's a really cool, I think, radio story for me anyways.
Yeah. Cause I mean, that's like you said, that you're put in these situations that people won't believe that happened, that actually happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Papa Roach bought my megaphone and used it in a few concerts.
Yeah.
And I got to see him again later.
Yeah, we got to rehash the story later. That doesn't happen.
Right.
There's so many stories. I'd have to sit here and mull, write some out, and that'd be a good book, actually.
A little memoir?
Yeah.
A little autobiography for you? Something like that?
Yeah. That would be cool.
Yeah. I always said if I were to write an autobiography, the title would be like Mic Check 1-2, because that's as far as radio people can count.
Yes.
1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2.
Where's that? What's after that? I don't know.
I don't know. So now you've got your empire of wedding DJ and trivia, and now you're back on top in radio. You've only been there.
This will be, I think I just completed my first or my third full week.
Oh, wow. Oh,
see, third or fourth. It's still pretty fresh.
So a month or so.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you're back. What's the plan? What's exciting that's going to be happening with HD 98 that people can tune into?
My thing of, when I had control of it before was, well, like I said, you can make it the WBBQ of 2024.
Yeah.
So people can expect to see our van a lot more, mm-hmm. see us involved with a lot more things. I just like, and now this was a big part of me coming back to the station. I love having something to do with the community and having influence on certain things that happen in the community. If we can help an event go on or be better, I love that part of it.
Yeah.
my whole philosophy of programming was I want people to feel good when they see our van or when they think about the radio station.
Yeah.
I want to give them a feeling. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's a weird way to say what to expect from us, but I guess that's it. Expect to see us a lot more and hopefully get some cool shows in town and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. I mean, it's so when you talk about BBQ, you know, they were everywhere. They were everywhere. Anything was going on. They were there. Of course, they had a news department and all this other stuff too. Yeah. And then, you know, the cue card. Everybody had a cue card. We're going to have an HD card, maybe?
I tried that in the past and it was like, people don't carry around cards like that anymore.
It'd have to be something on your phone or something.
Something nowadays. On your phone, or I even thought of like the little key cards you put on your keychain.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or a bracelet, because people wear the plastic bracelets. But I thought it'd be cool, like, hey, if you have an HD bracelet, you get discounts at, businesses or something like that. So I brought the idea up in the past. It didn't really do much, but I might try to do something like that again. Yeah,
that would be cool. Because I feel like probably in one of these boxes around here, there's probably several cue cards still laying around.
So for people who are listening who don't know about the cue cards, we have to explain this. Yeah. You would get your WBBQ card. I mean, this thing was almost like a little credit card. I mean, you had a serial number on it.
Yeah.
It was official.
Yes.
But you could show it around town and you get like these massive discounts, or I think in some cases you would get stuff for free.
Yeah.
And it was just a thing, like you had to have this cue card.
Yeah. It was the predecessor to every store's loyalty card is what it was.
Sure.
You know, you get punches now with a cue card. You flash the cue card. And like I said, you get like 50% off a donut at Krispy Kreme or something, or you get it was your loyalty card for listening to the station.
Yeah.
And they just had, they everywhere accepted or had some sort of deal with the cue card.
Yeah. And it was like an event too. Like they would say, all right, come, you know, BBQ would put out these events to where they're like, come get your cue card at wherever we're going to be this Saturday. Mm-hmm. And like
people would sign, come
a lot of people.
Yeah. Come sign up for the card and you're writing down all your information and it's going to a box that you might get drawn for concert tickets while you're there too, or something like that. It was just always such, like when you talk about this stuff going on, the energy, the spectacle of, you know, what radio was. Mm-hmm. And I think that was probably what was so attractive to me in getting into radio, you know, that we got into it around that time when it was still a spectacle, when it was still like,
right.
Somebody was talking the other day, we mentioned Mark Summers, but I saw a meme going around. It's like, yeah, Gen Xers, we were like, we had teen nightclubs and there was no video evidence.
Yeah.
Actually, there was. There was one here in town called TP
Cruisers. TP Cruisers.
And Mark was the, and we made a TV show of the teen nightclub. And Mark was the host of the TP Cruisers TV show.
That. It would come on at like, I don't know, 10 o'clock Saturday morning or something like that. Right. You'd look for your friends on there.
Yeah. That was just crazy stuff. But I mean, that was the fun stuff that got me excited about. I could actually do this. I could, you know, it's not like having to go to Hollywood and become, you know, the next Robin Williams or something like that. It's like, I could be the Robin Williams of Augusta. I could be the guy that kind of brings that joy and that excitement to your home.
Because
you love your home. This, you know, a lot of people, they love where they grow up from and to be a part of that. And BBQ was such a big powerhouse at that time too. They were just huge, huge signal too.
They don't do radio like that anymore.
No,
you can't. Yeah. I mean, it's so difficult. People got so many different options.
Yeah. Yeah. And was that ever a thought that when you saw that coming up, like it started with XM and Sirius and the satellite radio, did you ever think of maybe trying to go that route? Or
I did. But that's as far as it got. I never really, you know, and I think I probably glanced around the old, extinct allaccess.com for satellite or serious jobs. And, I never came across anything. Truth be told, I could have stayed in radio when I left Vegas. Just cause, you know, it's all about who, you know.
Yeah.
I had an interview lined up in Knoxville, Tennessee. They were going to have me out and come, you know, check out the market. And it seemed like it was like pretty much a done deal, but I was like, family wanted to come back home. So
yeah,
I just hung them up, you know? So,
yeah.
I mean, who knows what happened? I could have got canned there too. I don't know.
it's kind of the thing with radio. Yeah, when I got let go from, it was still Clear Channels before iHeart had bought them out. I mean, it was me and 3,500 of my closest friends got let go in the same day. So
yes,
that massive, you know, RAF. And when you have 3,500 people all that now don't have a job and the jobs don't exist, it's not like you could just go over to another station.
They
just don't exist anymore.
Well, and then the ones that do exist, the competition for those jobs go much higher.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I've stayed in this business, you know, a long time. I'm good enough to have a job, but there's much better broadcasters out there. So I didn't feel comfortable going, you know what? They can just have those jobs.
Yeah. Let me go knock down Howard Stern. I can do it.
Yeah.
It's just not the thing. So aside from radio and your, I feel like I was going to ask a stupid question, but aside from radio and your lack of time because you have weddings to attend and trivia and stuff like that, is there anything else that you're just really passionate about that you just love being involved in, sports or?
You know, I heard you ask this on one of your other episodes and I was like, what am I passionate about? And this is kind of a struggle for me because like, I don't have time for hobbies. I don't have hobbies. Yeah. I don't watch TV. I don't do a whole lot and that bothers me because I want to, you know, I love riding motorcycles. I have a motorcycle, but I don't have time to ride it. You know, I don't know. I like to go to the gym. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, I don't know. I guess that's the answer to that.
Yeah.
And I would like to know, I would like to have that time to go, all right, well, let's do some hobbies. Let's do some activities and let's figure out some me time.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess in that same vein then, so what's bringing you joy then?
My kids, honestly, my kids have turned out really cool. I got three of them. You know, my oldest is kind of navigating life. He reminds me a lot of me in my early 20s, you know, and you know, what do I want to do? You know, I got this radio thing I want to do, but got these other things that might be cool too. And you just, you know, at that age, you don't know which road is the right road to take. So you're almost afraid to take any of the roads.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's fun trying to help him kind of navigate that.
Yeah.
My daughter, she moved out the day after her 19th birthday. She's like in college, doing great, got a great job. Like she's, I don't know, she's flourishing.
Yeah.
And my youngest son, he's 15. He's a football player.
Yeah.
Really good. Great football size. So it's fun. I take him to camps a lot, you know, football camps and trying to get him some recruiter attention and things like that. Cause you know, he wants to go to school and play football. I just want him to go to school.
Yeah.
So, but playing football is a great bonus.
Yeah.
And he loves to do it. So those are the things that bring me joy. Hanging out with my kids, watching their journey and just seeing them accomplish things and you know, experiencing their wins and losses with them. That brings me joy.
Chris, this is the second segment of the show. This is where we dive a little bit more deeper into your mental health journey. It's what the show is about. I believe that the more we talk about things that bother us, the more we're open about that and try, instead of keeping it in the shadows, the easier it is for us to realize that we are not alone in these things. And I think that depression wants to tell us that we are alone. So for you, how do you keep the darkness at bay?
Booze? No, I'm kidding.
I mean,
that usually makes it worse, honestly. But I guess that would be it. Making a joke out of everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great way to mask stuff, but it doesn't really address the problem. Mm. I don't know. I try different things. I try to stay positive.
Yeah.
Actually, for a while there, when I got canned in Florida, you know, back in 2013 or whatever it was, like I got to where like, just to kind of convince myself, I was posting all these little cheesy positive quotes every day.
Yeah.
And I didn't think anybody was paying any attention, you know. And then a good friend of mine, Molly Swift, saw it, and she, you know, said it struck a chord with her, and, you know, it kind of helped her and stuff like that. And, really kind of, I don't know, that made me feel good. You know, it was like, okay, kind of like you said, you know, that you're not going through things alone. Like, people got their own things they're going through. So even if you're posting some cheesy quote that you saw written on a bathroom wall or wherever you saw it, it might help someone through whatever it is they're going through.
Right.
So I was doing, you know, that helps a lot. Just kind of reminding myself to be positive.
Yeah.
I was doing therapy for a little while, currently in the market for another therapist. So, I guess that's it. Just staying on top of it. Just, you know, when you get into a hole, and, you know, my past few years have been pretty rough. You know, I had a lot of death in my family, and, being unemployed, you know, and then, going through the divorce last year. So, there's a lot of opportunity to crawl in those holes. So,
And I think being aware that, you know, that there is a hole, because, you know, sometimes you're in it and you don't realize that you're in a hole. Because you've just kind of slid down in it. You just kind of backed away from things that maybe did bring you joy, or things that you found yourself passionate about, even, you know, getting on your motorcycle and going for a ride or something like that, that you may have normally done.
You're
like,
oh,
well, I found an excuse not to have time to do that, or something like that. Just recognizing, fuck, I'm in a hole.
Yeah, absolutely. I do feel lucky to be able to recognize when I'm getting that way. I've become pretty good at, like, recognizing when I'm feeling a little more depressed or a little in that hole, or or even angry. You know, I've everybody gets angry, and my thing is, how do you manage that anger?
Yeah.
You know, and I pride myself in just kind of not blowing up, kind of keeping it to myself. And then you need to tell your loved ones, like, look, I'm pissy right now. Don't let me get over it. Let me digest, you know, and then we'll move forward. So I feel lucky to be able to have those moments of self-reflection to go, I'm not my best self right now.
You talked about going to the gym. Do you find that maybe some of the, do you do some self work? Like, when you're literally working on your body, but I mean, you think do you pay attention to, like, maybe where you're at mentally during those times too, to work out some of that anger or work out some of that frustration, or what's the next move type stuff, you know? Getting your body moving, I think, helps get your brain moving.
It does. Absolutely. I find it very therapeutic. I have a very angry playlist that I listen to while I'm working out. Yes, a lot of, like, death metal, just like speed metal, just, you know, and it kind of is very therapeutic. And it's helped a lot over this past year, because, you know, you have, going through a divorce, you have all these feelings, you know, like, of, you know, a lot of my stuff was, you know, why did it, I let it get this way, or why, what could I have done better? And why, I don't, just a lot of whys, a lot of whys connected to different things. So yeah, that's probably over the past year, that's been my focus of every time I go in the gym, it's like, I hone in on that and I'm like, why? Probably, I don't know if that's healthy or not, but that's what it's been.
But I mean, you know, I think why is the great question for uncovering things. You know, when you know, I don't want to eat today. Why don't you want to eat? Well, you know, it could be because you're not hungry. All right. Great. But it's because, well, somebody pissed me off. Well, why'd they piss you off? Or why do you think they pissed you off? You know, you can always follow a why question with another why question, and to really get to the root of what's going on. You know, whether those whys end up being like, I feel like I'm not worthy enough now for someone's love, or I feel like I've screwed up something and I don't deserve to either love myself or to have someone else love me or whatever. And you have to be able to sit with yourself through those kind of questioning moments, to discover that, because I think that's where you then start to like, okay, I'm in this hole, but actually there's a rope over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me grab hold of that rope.
Right. And, you know, therapy helped me with that
a
lot. That was, I think, may have been my first question to my therapist, is going in there and, what the fuck is wrong with me? Right. You know, and then just kind of laying out the kind of the things I was going through. And, you know, she reassuring me that even though, you know, you may not handle this situation great, or maybe you did this thing that may have been not the best, you know, you're not in your best moment, you're okay, because people screw up, you know? And that was my thing. Like, I am my own biggest critic. So when I screw something up, I'm just like hammering down on myself.
Yeah.
And it's so unhealthy.
Right. Right.
So, you know, therapy helped me through that a lot, but it's still there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, sometimes those things never go away.
Yeah.
But again, your awareness of it, your awareness of the things that get you to that place and how to either avoid them or work through them in a productive, positive type manner are very important.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, I try to focus on that. And that's like going back to being self-aware of like what you're going through and just being able to recognize it. I feel like that's a huge help in your mental state, you know, and I try to pass it along to my kids. Like, look, you know, if you're feeling a certain way, take a breath, step back, look at it, you know, why is it this way? Yeah. How can you handle it better? You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know where I was going with that.
No, I mean, you know, I get it, you know, it's that moment of reflection, you know, it's the moment of realization, like, hey, realize you're going through something. Mm-hmm. Like you said, take a deep breath. Especially in the role of a father, you're like, I don't want them to ever feel any, you know, I don't ever want my kids to ever feel any pain or any disappointment or anything like that. Yeah. But that's part of life.
It is.
It's going to happen. And so you have to take a breath too. Like, fuck, they're about to go through some stuff and I don't want them to go through it. And it's like, okay, I can only warn them so much.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can equip them with the tools like, hey, stuff goes south.
Yeah.
This just remember, you know, I still love you. You're still very important and you still got a lot of great stuff to do in life.
Yeah.
But take a moment. Don't be so hard on yourself. You know?
Right. Yeah. I had said, you know, situation with my youngest son just last week. He was going through something at practice and everything. So he was like all upset when he got off of it. And I was like, just in my head, I'm thinking of the whole situation because he got called out and singled out in practice. I felt how embarrassing that may have been or how frustrating that was. And I just knew like the waves of emotion that he was probably going through. And then I just remember thinking to myself, like, God, I really hate this for him. I wish I could take those emotions and experience them for him.
Yeah.
But this is also good for him.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a chance to grow and to learn.
All right, Chris, this is the third segment of the show. It's time now for the Fast Five. The Fast Five. It's time now for the Fast Five. Fast Five. I know it's four seasons. Woo! This theme song is...
I was looking forward to that.
I feel like I still need to get somebody on the Fast Five theme song. It's powered by Poddex, an app created by my friend Travis Brown. It's created for podcasters, great icebreaker questions and stuff like that. But if you go to chewingthefatbr.com/poddex, you can find the link to get your own deck at the app store of your choice, whether you're an Apple or an Android or whatever. But
Green Bubble Gang. Bubble Gang for life, son.
Okay. All right. I think your mic stopped working here all of a sudden. Okay. You know, I can't leave your group chat either. I don't know if you realize that.
So I didn't know that.
Yeah. I can't leave if you put me in
the group chat. Lucky for you. Lucky for you.
That's great. Fast Five is just five random questions. First thing comes to top. You had no wrong answers. You ready, buddy?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Question number one. If you were the captain of a ship, what would you call it?
Oh. I wasn't expecting nothing like that.
Yeah, you get to name the ship. What you call it? You get
to name the ship?
Yeah.
The USS Me.
Okay. The USS Me.
I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that.
Well, there's no wrong answer. So, I mean, if that's the first thing that came to you, that's it. There you go. Question number two. What's the best compliment you ever received?
Oh, man. Best compliment that I can say on a podcast. I'm kidding. I guess I would have to say that it would be whenever my stepkids chose to call me dad.
Oh, wow.
I never expected that. Growing up, I called my steps by their name, you know.
Yeah.
And I never even, it never broached my mind that they would call me dad.
Wow.
And then they took it upon themselves and came to me and they were like, hey, we just want to let you know we're going to start calling you dad. And I was like, whoa. I was like,
that's a big.
Yeah. I was like, y'all give it some thought, you know, like, do you realize this is like a thing? Like, and they said, no, we've talked about it a lot. And we both decided, you know, you're our dad. We want you to call. Wow. We want to call you dad. And that's the best compliment I've ever had.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I can't think of a better one. That's amazing. Question number three. Do you consider yourself superstitious?
Yes and no.
Okay. Explain.
I would say no, but I do superstitious things.
Like you wear the same underwear when you watch the Braves play or something like that?
No. Okay. But okay. Well, that's a great example. So not underwear. I had a couple years ago, I bought a new Georgia shirt. Cause I always wear like a jersey during the games. Mm-hmm. And then I bought a new Georgia shirt at the beginning of the season and they won all their games. I was like, oh, okay, this is cool. And then here comes the SEC championship or whatever. And I was working, I was doing a wedding and I was like, I'll wear a different shirt today, you know? And then they lost that game.
Whoa.
But then that's the year they came back and, you know, they were allowed in the playoff and eventually won the national championship, which I wore the shirt for those games that they won. So I was like, I'm going to wear this shirt for every game until they lose. And then the next season, we all know what happened.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, this is working. Like, so I wore it for every game. And then, you know, it lost its mojo at the SEC championship last year. So
well, thank God you're not superstitious, though, yeah. As you stated.
Exactly. I'm the biggest walking contradiction you'll ever meet.
Question number four. What would constitute a perfect day for you?
Perfect day. Perfect day would be being woken up by the sunlight through my window, mm-hmm. Not by my dogs, who usually like to wake me up. But yeah, being woken up at a decent hour, I don't know, 8-ish. I like to wake up semi-early because I like to enjoy my day.
Yeah.
I'm not a sleeper-inner. I'll sleep when I die.
Okay.
And then if it's the perfect day, then I'm going to head to a beach nearby.
Nice.
And
find ride the motorcycle there to the beach?
God, that would be great.
I'm just asking. Like, this is your day. I was just asking.
I don't know. Because in my head, I'm like, my kids are in the car and stuff. Okay. Like, this is like,
there you go.
Almost kind of like family thing.
There you go.
No, and then I find a spot on the beach close to a tiki bar where I can go grab a margarita, sit on the beach, and then that's my day.
That's your day.
Perfect day.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. Question number five. If you could go back in time and give your younger self one piece of advice, what would it be?
You know what? I thought about this question recently and I forgot my answer. Mm. This is a thing about me. My memory sucks.
Mine too.
It is terrible.
Yeah. But I bet that you got a lot of useless knowledge about the artists floating around in there
that
you could spew out at any moment if you needed to.
Yeah. Randomly.
Yeah.
So I guess the best piece of advice would be like live in the moment, I guess. I'm real bad about looking 5 steps down the road and being worried about that.
Oh, wow.
And not appreciating the moment. And I guess you could kind of package that with my work ethic, which I blame my father for. But, you know, he's just, you know, he and my grandfather, they were just that, those old school Southern guys that were like, look, you got to make money and that's your job to provide for your family and to always make sure you can do that.
Yeah.
And so that owes a lot to, or what the way I do my life now, it owes a lot to that because I work a lot. Mm-hmm. But I'm afraid of not being able to provide.
Yeah.
So that takes away a lot of the living in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, and the moments to enjoy and stuff like that. So I guess that would be my thing. It's the cheesy thing you see in movies all the time. Like, don't work your life away.
Right.
Family's important, you know.
Yeah.
But it's true, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, work enough to pay your bills and spend time with the people you love. And because one day they won't be there and you won't get the time and you never know when that day is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I absolutely agree with that because, like, you know, when you think about, you know, your kids don't, when they've grown up, they're not going to remember those days that you worked late. They'll remember the days that you had time to spend with them.
Right.
You know, that you made it to the football game or you made it to the concert or the production or whatever it was that they were involved in. And you were there in that seat for them. That's what they'll remember.
Yeah. 100%. And, you know, I try to make the most of that. I try to be there for them as much as I can. Mm. And, you know, I just try to have those moments to find joy. Yeah. So, you know, I guess that's the long way to say, just, you know, take joy in your moments, enjoy the moment. And if you're not, find a way to do that.
Yeah. I love that. I just read a book recently that you should, if you've not read it, you should read it. It's called 4,000 Weeks, Time Management for Mortals. Oliver Berkman is the author. It's not like this, hey, here's how to get 15 more things done every day type of self-help thing. It's more philosophical about what you're saying about our relationship with time.
Yeah.
Basically, he says, you know, that everybody lives about 4,000 weeks and that's it. You know,
well,
so it's enjoying the things that you can get done, not trying to squeeze more in, but giving things priority that are going to be meaningful, knowing that you can't do everything. Mm-hmm. So when you decide to do these three things today, those are the things that are important. And then I'm going to enjoy the time doing those. And I'm not going to feel bad for not getting to the other 20 things that might need it to get done.
That's pretty big. I mean, I feel like you're in my head right now because that's me every day. Oh, I didn't get to these things. And then I hate myself for it. And then I repeat the cycle the next day and the next day and the next day. And it's probably fueling some of my, you know, reasons I need a therapist.
Mm. Well, definitely check out that book if you've not read it yet. 4,000 Weeks. It's a great book.
4,000 Weeks. I'm putting it on my list.
Well, Chris, that is our Fast Five, and that is the show. Thank you so much for being here, man.
Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun. I've been listening to your episodes, and I got to say, and this is just like I told the Drop the Disc guys, like when I saw you were doing this, immediately I go to jealousy. I'm like, oh, damn him. What the hell? But then I'm like, and then I realize, I'm like, well, it's because I want to do that. And like, I'm really just mad at myself for not doing that. So dude, this is awesome.
Well, thank you.
I've been listening to your episodes. They're all great.
I appreciate it.
So, you know, kudos to you. And I hope you can do this and it's lucrative for you. And
yeah, no, it's like working in radio, actually. So except I don't even get paid anything for this.
Okay.
But, you know, but I do appreciate the folks that take their time like you to come and be a part of the show and to open up your heart, your mind to the conversation. I really do appreciate that, Chris.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
If people want to keep up with you, what's the best way they can do that?
Many, many ways. I guess, first of all, I'm, you know, afternoons 3 to 7 on HD 98.3. I'm on Facebook.com/Chris Fisher. That's KRISFISHER. I'm on Instagram at DJ K Fish. I'm on X, although I hardly ever post, at DJ K Fish. What am I missing?
I don't know. Is that where you? That your main places? Like, I'm usually on Instagram, you know, and it like automatically ties to Facebook, so I don't really do extra stuff.
I'm on TikTok, but I don't TikTok much. But there's some TikToks. That's at Augusta Wedding DJ.
Okay. And if you need a wedding DJ.
If you need a wedding DJ, I do have some availability. You can check me out online, AugustaWeddingDJ.com.
And what's the trivia, do you do that? Is that weekly? Is that every week? Is it the same place?
Trivia weekly. I have a game that I host at Vance's Bakery Bar on Thursdays. It starts at 8, and Vance's is delicious.
Oh, my gosh. I was just at, me and Val went to Vance's last night and had the bread pudding, and she had, like, some hot chocolate something or whatever. It was amazing.
Amazing.
So good.
And their drinks are so good. So, like, good. You know, I don't know. I guess maybe I'm partial or whatever, but their old fashioned is like the best old fashioned I've ever had. So, yeah, try them out. Come see us on Thursdays. I have a game that I write, but actually, you had Regina on your show, Gina Bread and Bread.
Yeah.
She hosts for me and at Senor Mezcal on Thursdays from 7 to 9.
That's great. Well, I'll put all of those links in the show notes. And, of course, you can find out more about Chris and the other guests online at chewingthefatbr.com. Again, Chris, I love you. I wish you nothing but success in everything that you got going on. And if there's anything I can do for you, man, I'm right here.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
So we can do this again tomorrow then. Is that what you're telling me?
Sure. You said you didn't have time, but all of a sudden time has opened up. It's amazing.
Yeah, if I can talk about myself, I'll make time.
If you would like to support this podcast, I'd appreciate it if you bought me a coffee at chewingthefatbr.com. But until next time, I look forward to the chance we have to sit a spell and chew the fat.